I made you some hot chocolate. Try not to cough in it. So, you're out of bed at least. That's good. Still here, though. Why is that? Oh, I don't mind the company. You're okay. I'm just wondering. Pitt said she'd be here in 3 nights. It's been a week now, and she's not. But you are. Why? Well, you might want to start thinking about it. Maybe get used to the idea that she might not be coming. Besides, this would be your chance to bail. Unlike me, poor Moonstruck Molly, for that matter, you still could. And I sure as shit am not about to stop you. That's good. I'm getting good at this. What? I don't hate Molly. She said that? No. I just think she's got issues. Big chip on her shoulder. You can attest to that. Though I guess she can't help it. With the bond and the decades of vampire brain fuckery and all. I hope I get hit by a truck before I get halfway down that road. Huh? What do you mean she's not bound? So, she's just like that? Huh. I don't know if that's the most romantic thing I've ever heard, or just the most toxic and pathetic. No, I'll be honest. That's a relief. I was worried I'd end up like that. Well, it's... I'm still new to this. Relatively. Molly's been around for a while. So I assumed. The whole bonding process. It's complicated. You've known Pitt long enough to see what she can do. She can make you do things. Say things, see things, feel things. She could probably make you come without touching you. And if she has, don't tell me. I don't want to know. That's the power of suggestion. Hypnosis shit. Most vampires can at least put ideas in your head, if nothing else. The thrall's bond is different. It's more subtle. The suggestions are passing compulsions that only last for as long as the vampire's there to mindfuck you. But bonds take time to build up. Then once it takes, it's for life. And it's not so much a question of free will. Really, you don't have free will any more than I do. You don't pick and choose what you want or how you feel, right? But what you do have is a free won't. A veto. And that's the difference between us. You can still say no to your impulses. Fully bonded thralls like Molly and I can't. Well, Molly can, as it turns out. I imagine that's a mindfuck of its own. Finding out that she had a choice all along. People will justify anything if they can convince themselves someone else is responsible. Or that it's for some nebulous greater good. Molly? I've seen her pull some pretty heinous shit for her precious mistress. She's probably doing some serious questioning right now. Rediscovering herself. I don't envy that. Wait. Wait. You're not staying for her, are you? Not to tell you your business. But I think she's lost cause. Bonded or no. Assuming she's even alive. I mean, she's fine. Probably. Yeah. Probably. Sorry. Anyway, I'm surprised she warmed up to you so fast. Must really love to hate you. Or hate to love you. I get it. It's complicated. And she's easy to feel sorry for, even when she's acting batshit insane. I'd still be careful if I were you. Might get burned again. Well, you heard the word Timilani before, right? Most vamps never meet theirs, but you turned out to be Pitts. I can see why they get her all aggro. Feels like nothing else, supposedly. Or that's what the literature says, anyway. You know better than me. Yeah? I'll take your word for it. But that's something you share with Pitt, and she doesn't. She's been fixated on this vamp of a woman for literally decades, and then all of a sudden she only has eyes for you. That has to cut deep. And jealousy fucks people up. Not me, though. You two can do your little tug-of-war, and I'll be over here doing my own thing. I'm just happy to know I don't have that to look forward to. It's... You don't want to hear how we met. It's a long and not very eventful story. Fine. This store. The lore dump. My weird aunt used to run this place. The kind of weird that would have gotten her burned as a witch 300 years ago. And it occurs to me just now that maybe she actually was a witch. Maybe. I'll have to look into that. Anyway, I spent a lot of time here as a kid, rifling through all this old occult shit. Loved it. Never thought any of it was real, though. And then, my aunt died. Left this place to me for whatever reason. I dropped out of college to take over. Oh, don't be sorry. We were close, but it's been 14 years now. I'm over it. And I don't hate the job. It gave me a lot of time to myself, to read and to cozy up the place. Make better hot chocolate. It's good, right? Though I think there might be some kind of a spell on the store. Because in hindsight, my clientele was always just obvious vampires and thralls. Mostly one Dorothy Pitt. And, well, that's how we met. She pretty much just single-handedly kept me in business. You wouldn't believe just how much of a market there isn't for this shit. But I never really questioned it. Just figured she was some nouveau riche trying to placate the loud inner goth she never got over. Then, 18 months ago, I got sick. And learned that vampires are real. Turns out she was old money instead. Oh no. The cough was always like this. The cough isn't new, but I got a thing in my brain. Cancer. Same as my aunt. A meningioma. Malignant, terminal, all that. At least it was going to be relatively quick, so I wasn't too bothered. But then I made the mistake of telling Pitt about it. I thought maybe she'd want to buy the place. Instead, she decided to save me. Vamp blood. They'll push it like it's snake oil. Heals anything and everything, supposedly. Except vamp blood actually works. Kinda. Turns out the cancer is fucking flourishing on it, too. Getting all fat, so we'll see if the blood ends up keeping me alive or killing me. Either way, I'm gonna be a plasma junkie for whatever's left in my life. Do I not sound worried? Because I am. I didn't ask for this. And if Pitt isn't here to give me my dose in 3 or 4 days, the withdrawal is going to make me wish the cancer got me first. I'm fucking terrified. That's why I have the fireplace streaming on the TV. It calms me. Who knows why vamps do what they do? Self-preservation and hedonism? Fulfilling sad power fantasies from their mortal lives? Well, Pitt? For an undead apex predator, bitch is needy as fuck. That's probably why she got on so well with Molly. Molly's only personality trait being zealous adoration and all. Feeds her ego. She needs that shit as much as she needs freshly squeezed people juice. Because she can't deal with not being loved. Maybe it's the humanity by proxy. Living vicariously, but literally. Or maybe it's a guilt thing. I don't know. She wants the juice without the squeeze. She needs you to want it. She needs you to want her. Because otherwise she's just another parasite. Hey, this is what I do. I read, and I watch, and I observe. I could armchair psych you too. But I'm going to spare you. For now. You are a mess, though. Almost as much as they are. No judgment. Ugh. I just calls him like I sees him. That's how I do. You go all Jungian on me, though, and I actually will kick you out. It was privilege. But really, getting horny for your kidnappers. Not healthy people behavior. You should look into that, Chief. Me and her? No. She never made a move on me. Thank God for that. I don't fuck dead things. Or living things. Okay, again, no judgment. But human bodies are like cheese. You ever think about cheese? Loaves of milk, all coagulated, all the bacteria, the mold. Tastes good in your mouth as long as you don't think about it too much. But I can't stop thinking about it too much. I hope I didn't just ruin something for you. Well, Edward won't judge you, even if you're a slut with Stockholm Syndrome. He's weirdly sex positive like that, unlike me. Edward. A brain tumor. That's his name. Oh, yeah. He's a malignant dipshit. But he counsels me. He understands. He talks to me. You're not questioning this at all. I was making a joke. No. No, I don't actually talk to Edward. And his name isn't Edward either. That was another joke. I'm a little offended that you just believe that. Is that the vibe I give off? Fair enough. I guess you have seen stranger things recently. I'm not all adjusted yet either. None of us are, really. The fucking vamps themselves, least of all. All the lore in these books? Speculation, mostly. Maladites is what they call themselves. The bearers of the covetous curse. That's just about the only thing they can agree on. Which, I get it. It makes sense because of the whole blood thing. They need what you have, and it turns them into monsters. I just think it's ironic. Because envy, jealousy, very human emotions. And though it feels like us mortals are so blasé about death, but not them. Never heard of a suicidal vampire. They are desperate to stick around. Maybe they know something I don't. Maybe going through it once was bad enough. Whatever it is, they're scared. And they're paranoid. That's why they can't stand to be around each other for too long. Most hounds aren't big enough for more than a dozen or two. They're pretty competent at policing each other, though. Even if it's just to cover their own asses. Whenever someone makes too much noise, leaves behind a trail of corpses, tries to sire a personal army for themselves, they get put down. Fast. But any attempt at actual organization usually gets fucked by power struggles. Trying to lead just puts a target on your back. Not that that stops them from trying anyway. And if this is all sounding like a functional anarchist society to you, I haven't stressed enough just how fucking dysfunctional these things are. It's just might makes right, and the whole racket runs on human blood. Pitt and her associates are the closest thing to a local authority we have, and that's only because no one's powerful enough to challenge it. Not until recently, at least. As far as any kind of shared history goes, all we got is myths and anecdotes. Anyone old enough to have been there is either dead or napping in a hole somewhere dreaming of their next meal. Because that's all that's left of them. Origin stories? Look around. Pick a book and you'll probably find one you haven't seen before. They've got oodles of origin stories. Lilith is a popular pick for the first vampire. Adam's first wife, mother of demons. Wouldn't submit to her husband, so I guess that makes her evil. And then there's Cain, the first murderer, the fratricide. People love that one. God cursed him to... Is God real? You are so not asking the right person. I couldn't possibly tell you. Well, it's like this. I've seen plenty of the hungry dead. Haven't seen God yet. But less than 2 years ago, I didn't believe vampires were real either, so... I have no idea. You'll have to figure that one out for yourself, Chief. Besides, these are just the Abrahamic tellings of how it happened. We've got writings that have thousands of years on anything in Judaism. I could tell you about Shukalituda, cursed for raping the goddess Inanna. I could tell you about the Sumerian kings who supposedly ruled for hundreds of years. Obviously, whoever recorded these things was embellishing a little. Or they were ruled by ancient blood gods. We just don't know. Frustrating, huh? The thing about all these stories is the more you read them, the more they start to overlap. The details change over time and distance in this infinite game of broken telephone. But Finnic mythology is Norse mythology, is Slavic mythology, is Roman mythology, is Greek mythology, and so on and so on. You start seeing these parallels and... suddenly it feels a lot less crazy to think that maybe these stories are based on something that was real once upon a time. Whether it was ever anything supernatural, who knows? Yep. All these books, no answers. I used to think superstition was just caveman science from back when we had no way of knowing better. But having seen the things I've seen... this used to be shit nobody but the biggest undead nerds cared about. But now suddenly everybody's interested, what with the supposed end times happening. Now they're all desperate to figure it out. Sorry. No. It's fine. It's always like this. I do have one story for you I know for a fact actually happened. There's this French guy, Edouard Page. And this one's real and not just in my head. Mr. Page, aspiring archaeologist, really into ancient Mesopotamia. Got his master's from the University of Bordeaux in 2004. Worked a teaching job until 2012 when he joined a big dig in Iraq, somewhere west of Basra. Made his first big find there, a collection of Sumerian tablets he dubbed the Euphratian Codex. Yeah? Well, it should sound familiar. It was a big deal at the time. He worked on translating the thing, making pretty much no progress up until a while back. He joined another dig in Israel, the Cave of Horror. Yes, that is actually what they call it. They found the 1900-year-old skeletons of 40 Jewish men, women, and children inside, presumed to have been killed by Roman soldiers. Except, that was a conclusion they came to when the cave was found all the way back in the 60s, way before his time. This latest dig found something new in there. Something older. The 6,000-year-old mummified remains of a young girl. Can you see where this is going? Those people 1,900 years ago met with something even more ancient than themselves. Well, it gets worse, because the remains disappeared not too long after. Either someone stole a mummy, or we're dealing with a vampire. The oldest one on record, as far as I'm aware. Meanwhile, Page suddenly finished his translation of the Codex before vanishing off the face of the earth. What a coincidence, huh? It was around the time that mass vampire impotency and end-of-the-world hysteria started. For whatever reason, Pitt was sure that the Codex would have the answers, so she had me track Page down. Turns out he was in town. Fucking coincidences, right? So Molly and I paid him a visit, and, well, we found him dead. By the looks of things, he'd been that way for a while. It wasn't hard to tell how it happened. Take a guess. We did find his translation, but no indication of where the original tablets were. Pitt seems convinced there's something in there, but I honestly don't know if it's any good. Well, the bit about crowning the last born definitely smacks of this vampire extinction event we're having, but for starters, it fucking rhymes. That tells you Page took major artistic license with the translation. It mentions a brother's keeper, an obvious reference to Cain. When the tablets predate the story of Cain and Abel by thousands of years. And ancient Sumerian has two grammatical genders. One for humans and gods, and one for everything else. The translation refers to the first one as a he, but all that really tells us is that the first one wasn't, say, a pair of fucking sandals. It all just reads like bullshit to me. Blow my mind if there's actually a solution somewhere in that loon's Huh. Yeah. I'm gonna warn you right now that if you're gonna be a creep, I've got cameras all over
the- Moonlight blooms the queen of the night. Hurry up! The dude across the street is looking at us weird. Surly?
I'll get the door.